This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Part of the reason that Mr. Mondesi got rid of his name is his father is in prison in the Dominican Republic for 8 years.
That would make, I mean, I understand that. But I don't know. I still think you keep your name. That's a pretty... You're still Raul Jr., aren't you? Like, if your dad goes to prison, you're named after... I mean, it's his call. I get it. But I did go on Wikipedia. I didn't see that nugget last night. Well, but he's still Raul Mondesi Jr. to me. But we will respect his decision to go to Aldoberto.
All right. Let's welcome to the program the one and only, the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir.
All right, much to discuss. First of all, Michael Wacha. Do you think there's going to be a happy ending here? Do you think there's going to be a way that Wacha can turn his season around?
Well, there's a way, but I think first he's going to be passed over, I would suspect, on the next time through the rotation, given the off day today and the off day Monday. You have Michaelis, Hudson, and Flaherty set to face the Braves here, and then Wainwright could take that start Tuesday when it would be Michael's turn, and then you could come back with Michaelis Wednesday, Hudson Thursday, Flaherty Friday. Then you need a guy for next Saturday with the Cubs. And Michaelis actually pitched pretty well against the Cubs, so maybe he'd be back in there then, or maybe Ponce de Leon or somebody else would be up by that. But I don't think he'll make his next start.
What's your sense from them, Kamish, whether it's Mozeliak Gersh or Schilt, that they're a little worried about? I mean, the rotation right now, I'd say, is wobbly. Is that fair?
Sure.
Do you think they're worried about it? Do you think they're considering some other maneuvering other than skipping a start?
Well, I'm sure they're considering bringing up Ponce de Leon, as they did once before when Wacha was hurt with his knee. They would have had Gomber up by now, probably, if he hadn't encountered the biceps problem with his arm. That's not real serious, I don't think. They're looking at maybe putting Woodford on the, bringing him up and putting him on the 40-man roster. And they like Cabrera a little bit, the left-hander they got from Tampa. And they like, ultimately, they like to have Reyes be that guy. But that's probably 3 weeks off. So they're going to have to make do until probably the middle of June on this matter with either Wacha and a combination of Ponce de Leon or Gomber or somebody else. But Reyes will be the guy ultimately, but he's not here yet.
We are a long way away from the trade deadline, but do the Cardinals look like a likely candidate to acquire a starter then?
Well, I think a lot of teams are, but they would be one unless you see something different from what you already have, and you might. You might see Wacha come. Wacha was their best pitcher for a lot of last year until he got hurt, and Michaelis took over and was 18-4. I don't see that happening this year since he's already got four, I think, losses, but I haven't given up on Michael yet, but he doesn't seem to be throwing with the same hop or movement or location that he's had before. And if his arm isn't hurt and his knee isn't hurt, then he's just lost something somewhere. Maybe his delivery is messed up. I don't know. But I would not like to give up on him yet, but I don't think it's prudent to keep running him out there if he can't pitch any better than what he pitched yesterday.
And do you think Wainwright's at a point where they kind of know what they have with him? He may not get you a dynamic start, but he'll get you a somewhat winnable start. Is that sort of what you, I mean, you kind of know what you have at this point?
Sure. He hasn't had too many awful ones. I mean, yesterday was just all right. He got through five innings, and if he managed somehow to hit one batter and walk four and have none of them score, which is almost impossible, but he made enough pitches, and he's 4-4. That sounds like, you know, 10-10 for the season, which I don't think anybody figured out much more than that. So he's still in there, and he's healthy, and he's throwing hard enough. He's throwing 91, 92 on occasion. His curveball kind of betrayed him yesterday. He was just missing with that, but he couldn't throw it for strikes very often. But, yeah, you know what you've got there, and he's kind of what they say is the fifth starter. Well, if your fifth starter's 10-10, 11-11, nothing wrong with that.
What are your impressions of what you've seen out of Carlos Martinez so far?
I like him. I wish he would be in the rotation. I don't see that happening just yet because his arm isn't built up enough for that. But I think before the year's over, they're gonna have to try that. That's an expensive setup guy to have $51 million for 5 years pitching the seventh or eighth innings occasionally at ninth. I'd like to see him in the rotation. He'd be their number one guy if he's in the rotation, if he's healthy. Now, that's the big question. Can his arm stand that? We don't know that yet.
So how would they try to transition him into a starter like midseason? How could they possibly do it?
Well, the only way he could do it is to pitch him three and four innings at a time in relief, which they don't seem like they want to do that. And so I don't think this is going to happen. I wish they would look at it that way, but he's going to pitch one inning for a while. I think he'll graduate to two innings here pretty soon, but you've got a bunch of guys who can go two innings out there, Gant, Brebbia. You know, Gant would be maybe ideal also to be in the rotation, but he hasn't pitched as a starter since spring training. It wouldn't take him as long as Martinez, but you'd have to take kind of a leap of faith that he would be good at it, because you'd sure hurt yourself in the bullpen taking him out of there.
Commish, looking back when they were 20-10, best record in baseball, what do you think they were doing right? I mean, certainly we're seeing now maybe that was an aberration, but how were they able to do that? Was it just the offense?
Well, their starting pitching was better then, too. Walker was pitching pretty well. Wainwright was pitching pretty well. Michaelis was pitching pretty well. And Flaherty. And Hudson was the only guy really struggling at the start of the year. Now he's pitching pretty well. Their bullpen has been really good for most of the season. They've had some games where they've been blown out, and some of the lesser lights have allowed a bunch of runs. And Miller hasn't been all that consistent, but good lately. So I would say their rotation was better then, and their offense surely was better then. You had Goldschmidt got hot at the start of the year. It's, you know, tapered off, as we've seen. I think they played... You know, they played Milwaukee a bunch, and they held their own with them. They were 5-5 against them, so they just played better in all facets of the game earlier in the year. But mostly, their offense was better, and the rotation was a lot better.
Do you think the manager has contemplated dropping Matt Carpenter from the leadoff spot? He was 1-for-6 yesterday. Did have 3 walks and a home run, and you do have Dexter Fowler, who had a spectacular game too with 3 hits. Do you think he's thought about it or no?
Well, I'm sure he's thought about it. I would also think about taking Goldschmidt out of the number 2 spot. He doesn't seem comfortable there, even though he had great numbers hitting there for Arizona last year. That's kind of what prompted them to do that this year. But I'd rather see him hit somewhere else, and maybe he'll feel more comfortable and drive in more runs, any runs, get the extra base hits. So Fowler, at over 400, deserves to be hitting leadoff. There's no reason why you shouldn't do that, even though Carpenter had a nice day at leadoff yesterday. I know it's hard to pull that plug, but it isn't like Carpenter has demanded to bat leadoff. He'd rather hit somewhere else to show people that he could do that.
And is Carpenter reticent to it? I mean, if Mike Shildt, who has a great rapport with these guys, if he says, listen, we got to make this move, do you think Carpenter will – I mean, not that they have any real say, but how tough is that – As far as selling it to Carpenter, do you think that's an issue?
I don't think it would be an issue at all. That doesn't mean it'd be forever. It's just be for a while until you get squared away a little bit here. But Fowler is an on-base guy and not really an RBI guy. He's had some RBIs, but what has he got, 13 or 14 for the year? That's not very many for batting down the lineup. But 400 on-base percentage is spectacular. So go with your best shot there. And Carpenter would have some runs to drive in. Were he hitting elsewhere in the lineup? He has nothing to drive in now with the pitcher hardly ever on, and Wong hasn't been on all that often lately either.
The commish, the Hall of Famer, joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. I heard Mike Claiborne say on the broadcast the other day, as the game was about to begin, the Royals are a better team than their record indicates. And you watch them play, especially in the first game, and you agree it was right on. I'm wondering, and I don't know if you spent much time with Kansas City Royals people, but do you think there's a plan in place where Mike Matheny eventually becomes the manager of that team, and it may not be such a bad job after all?
Well, Ned Yost, the current manager, has had the same job that Matheny has before Yost took over, which is, well, it's a long time ago, 8 or 9, 10 years ago, I guess. Now he's been managing them, and he was... like an assistant, you know, player development guy and scouting and stuff. And he took over, and I guess Trey Hillman might have been the manager then, and has kept the job. And I don't see why Mike wouldn't be a good fit for that club. I think he's a good manager. He never had a losing season here. The record that he had when he last season, won over 500. That's kind of where they are now. So there was an improvement for the last couple months of last year, certainly, but none this year.
That's
neither here nor there, but I think he can manage in the big leagues, and I think that's a good spot for him.
Commish, when does Homer Bailey get people out? It doesn't seem like we ever see it. I mean, he's still cashing a big league paycheck, God bless him, but I don't know how a guy with those numbers, I mean, I guess the contract is already set in stone, but we'd probably like to see him a little more often around here.
Well, this is the last year of Homer Bailey's contract, by the way. You will not see him making, you know, $20 million a year anymore. And that's already been kind of settled. The Dodgers made a big payout to him, and he's making like $5 million or something this year. But nonetheless, you always like to see him come to town, and he won't be coming to town anymore with Kansas City because they don't come to town anymore. He's got two no-hitters in the big leagues. That's not
unreal.
To be sneaked
at.
That
is amazing, yeah.
And he's won a lot of games for Cincinnati, but none of them against the Cardinals.
What do you make of this text we got in this morning at the all-new 590 The Fan? The class of 2013 through 15 officially add Waka to Maness, Sechrest, Rosenthal, that Matheny misused them all. What's your response to that?
Well, this is 2019. Waka's still pitching. I don't think he's been misused. He's been here 6-7 years now. Maness was used a lot. Sigrist is used a lot. So there's no question about that, but all relievers are used a lot. Rosenthal was, that's a tough case there. He sat out for a year and a half, and he came back, and he wasn't very good this year. You got to look at that a little bit, but I don't think that's reflective on a particular manager or pitching coach. It's reflective on the use of bullpens. All bullpens are used a lot these days because the starters don't go long enough anymore.
And I think Waka, he's had a number of injuries. I mean, I don't look at him as somebody, boy, they just burned him out. I think he's just, I don't know if it's bad luck, if it's injury prone, but he's had, and it's different areas of the body. Have you ever looked at him and said it's a use issue?
No. He had that weird shoulder injury, which wasn't, there was nothing broken in there. It was just weak or whatever. And then he had the oblique injury last year, swinging the bat, which is unfortunate because he can't hit, but he hurt himself swinging the bat anyway. And now this year was tendonitis in his knee, so his arm basically has been fine for a couple of years, and he's never been overused. He's never been in the bullpen. He started 30 games when he could, and if he couldn't start 30, he'd give you as many as he could, but that doesn't mean he's never pitched 200 innings, so he hasn't been overused.
Good stuff. Commish, we appreciate your time. We'll talk next week. Thank you, sir.
All right, man.
All right. The commission is brought to us by Lakeside Roofing, established in 1972. Solid rep for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com.
I know we have more to get to. I do have a question.
A lot to get to.
We've got
a Blues-Bruins game on Monday. We've got to break down.
If I'm the wet blanket, what's the commish? Because he is and always has been. We've had him on a lot over the last couple of years. He's the most optimistic person I know.
And that's rare for a beat writer. Who can, you know, those guys are often curmudgeons, you know?
Yeah, he and Strauss balanced each other out nicely.
Yes.
I think the commish has been doing it so long, and you've seen teams that look like crap all of a sudden catch fire. So I don't think he gives up in May or June or July. He just kind of sees what it and just tells you, well, he's not been good. And we say, right, he hasn't been good. And the team's terrible. He said, well, we'll see. I mean, he kind of has that perspective from doing it for so long.
And maybe that's why every manager just respects and likes him so much because he's always on the positive side. You know, Whitey loved him, Tony loved him, Matheny loved him. And he's not a hatchet man. He's not a mean-spirited guy either.
No, and you could say so-and-so's been terrible. Yeah, he has. I mean, that's what do you want me to add to that? I'm not a columnist. He has been terrible. The Carpenter topic, he was very specific on. He said it should be Fowler. Period.
Yes, yes.
And whether Carpenter likes being moved or not, and he says, I don't think it'll be an issue. And Schilt has a great rapport. why not try it? I think at this point, that's the, and you don't want to just mix and match all the time, have a different lineup all the time. He has been wildly consistent with his lineups. It's probably time.
So you're saying winning four out of the last 19 is not great. That's what you're saying. You're taking a stand.
I'm going to be the commissioner. No, it's not. No, it's not good. 62 cards. All right, how about five for Frank? Every 11 o'clock hour, it's brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
By the way, digging a little deeper, Adalberto, when they signed him the Royals, he went by Adalberto. And then it sort of switched over to Raul Mondesi or Raul A or Junior. That Mondesi kid. We'll just call him the Mondesi kid. All right, Frank, you are John Mozeliak. Give me two moves you could make today that you think would change your club. And can I tell you on the Charlie Marlowe, he thinks within the roster you have, you flip Hudson and Gant. Turn Gant into a starter and put Hudson in the bullpen.
I don't mind putting Gant as a starter, but I'm seeing Hudson get a little better, and I think Hudson's going to be okay there. If you're going to make a move in the rotation, it's Ponce de Leon for Michael Wacha, and maybe you just sit Wacha out for a little bit. But look, Ponce had an unbelievable start. He's been pretty productive at Memphis. What the heck? Why not?
And the answer, and the commission, he's correct. With the off days, they can skip a Wacha start, but that doesn't necessarily fix anything, right? It buys you a little bit of time, but it still doesn't address the issue. All right, your Mozeliak, would you go to Schilt? Would you suggest the Fowler leadoff thing, or would you stay out of that?
Oh, no. When you've won 4 out of 19 and you're the president, you can suggest all you want. I know that he has stayed out of it in the past, but look, you're talking to the guy every day, and whether you do it in a real dramatic fashion or you just do it in a kind of a smooth fashion, you got to talk about it.
All right, true or false, a cranky Mike Shannon is the best Mike Shannon. I heard him last night. It was 5-0 in game two, and Wainwright was throwing balls and runners were getting on, and he just said, come on, man, it's 5. Let's go here. Let's go. This is crazy.
Someone had dinner reservations.
It's the game, second game of a doubleheader. It's 5-0, and Wainwright's throwing a few balls, and Shannon's like, come on, man. You got 5 minutes. Let's go here. Let's go.
Yeah, first of all, he's about to turn 80, and I don't blame him a bit. I mean, the guy's working, you know, he probably got there at 10 o'clock, and he's working a 12-hour day. And I know he's not, like, doing bricks, but still, I don't blame Mike Shannon one
bit. It was
bit.
Hilarious, because you could just tell, probably thinking what most fans, let's go, it's 5-0. Just whip through this lineup here. All right, what's the percentage the Warriors will, in fact, win another NBA title?
Probably 95.
Yeah.
Is it 100?
I mean, I guess there's a possibility that Steph and Thompson could get hurt too, but there's no chance.
I mean, there's a 5% chance that either Kawhi or Giannis just have the games of their lives over a two-week span. And maybe that's enough.
But are you bored with it at all? You're okay with it? I know we like greatness. We like dynasties, but it feels a little boring.
Make it competitive, at least. That's all I want.
That's why I wanted, like the Knicks, and I know this is a long shot, to get Durant, Kyrie, and Zion. And you need some great team out of the East, and you don't have it. I mean, the Greek Freak needs another really nice piece, and I don't know if they can get that in Milwaukee.
I think we needed LeBron to stay in the East. And if he was going to do a super team or join forces, any of the above, do it in the East. So at least when the Warriors got there, LeBron would be standing in the way with whatever team he could assemble. Him with the Lakers, even though it's cool, it's the Lakers, it's L.A., there's no chance they're taking down the Warriors. So you don't get to see them on the big stage.
Yeah. I think that there's a part of Steph Curry. I mean, there's no doubt that, hey, look, I know that the 7-footer Kevin Durant's a little bit better than I am, but boy, now that he's out of there, I'm going to show the world that I'm the 2-time MVP, and he's just playing his lights out.
Does he make $40 million a year? Because if so,
yeah.
So that's about, what, a half mil per game. A half million dollars per game. You could roll your ankle in the first quarter. Yeah, why don't you sit out tonight, Steph? Okay, you just made a half million dollars. All right, number four, five for Frank, presented by Greenville University. What's more surprising? Seeing Larry Robinson at a Blues skate in Hazelwood at the Outlet Mall in the middle of November, December, or the fact that he's on Twitter. I saw Larry Robinson tweet out congratulations to the Blues last night, and I thought,
how many followers does he have?
Larry, like 7,000? Well, this is Larry freaking Robinson. You would think all of Canada would be following him.
Nine Stanley Cups, yeah. Wow.
Isn't that surprising that he's on Twitter? It's also weird that he's around.
And it's weird, the other night, like, he comes up through the press box, and he's walking through the press box with all the healthy scratches. You know, and they're going to that little room to watch the game.
I think it was Strick who said that Robinson's worked a lot with Parayko.
Oh.
That he has sort of taken him under his wing, which is not a bad thing.
So whatever
they're paying him, and it's not a bad idea to have a guy like that around.
When we attempted to do a story, the Larry Robinson story, which was squelched by the Blues because Doug doesn't want anybody talking, we got all this ISO video. So if it ever happens, we're in good shape. But we got all this ISO video of him, and he's like just, you know, joking around with all the guys, checking Maroon, and you can just tell he's just got a great rapport.
I looked up that night, and you have the video of Larry Robinson, and on the screen, and it says the Robinson impact or whatever, and I actually said out loud, there's no freaking way they got him to talk. Did they get Larry? So I'm watching, and Frank's talking, there's video, and he's this legendary hockey figure, and I'm like, how did they get him? I didn't think he... And then Pat Maroon commented on Larry Robinson. So, okay, I feel bad.
And there's Martin hoping for the worst again. Like, oh, I hope they didn't get him.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, if Fox 2's not hoping for the worst, then we got Charlie Marlowe photobombing me during a live show.
There was, you know what? Photo. There was a lot of accidental photobombing.
Oh, yeah. Doug's all over the place, too.
Well, I'm standing in the background on the Blues bench. Brett Hull is being interviewed by KMOX. Last I checked, that was a radio interview, correct?
Yeah.
He's on the headset talking to KMOX. I'm in the background. Lo and behold, they shot video. It may have been the great Ben Boyd. I don't know. And they posted video online of their interview of Brett Hull. I'm in the background putting makeup on. Behind Brett
it's
Hull.
It's unbelievable.
It's the golden Brett. At least Chuck is just standing there, right? Brett Hull.
We got to get this.
One of the greatest hockey players ever.
I want to tweet that video out.
And in the background,
makeup?
I'm powdering up, getting ready to go on the air because I've been sweating for like an hour and a half. I'm like, how in the hell is that a video? It's Brett Hull on the radio.
And at the beginning, it looked like, you know, you were one of those kids that, like, were waiting. You lost your mom at, like, a supermarket. You're waiting, like, waiting for her to come pick you up. So, yeah.
Waiting for my mom.
It went great.
Hey, Ma, the game's over. You get me a ride? All right, number five. Frank, the next time you and I throw a party, we need to put this guy in charge.
I had a killer party at my house in California. And the band Sugar Ray came and played.
Nice.
They're big Ducks fans, so they came to my house and played. And I had a big shaker and had the cops come about three or four times. And at about 4 in the morning, the cop needed to leave, and the cops came for the fourth time. And I said, all right, we're packing up shop.
We had a big shaker.
Chris Pronger, folks.
I was looking up the video of you putting makeup on.
Is it right there?
I said when we're ready for a big party. I pointed at Brian to play the clip. Frank thought we were putting Brian in charge
of
the party.
No, I would not be a good...
Pronger had a big shaker at his house in 2007. He said, well, time for the cup to go. All right, Five for Frank presented by Greenville University.
Let's take a break. When we come back, the one and only Dr. Rick Lehman.